Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 97 of Fan Experience TV. I'm your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, lot to get to, but first off, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It was a great weekend this weekend. We had a lot of great football games. Obviously, the locals did not help the cause. We'll get into that a little later, but I mean, what can you say, man? It was, you know, it was Kyler Murray lighting it up in Arizona. It was Aaron Rodgers last night chucking the ball over the place. Tom Brady throwing five, like the ageless wonder, throwing, what do you throw, five touchdowns?
Unbelievable. Five touchdowns, nine in the first two games of the season. And I think he's got like 17 or something in the last four games, something ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And so, you know, these quarterbacks throwing the ball out, but it was just a great performance. It was just an incredible game. The Cowboys, we were just talking about that before we came on, the Cowboys pulling out a miracle. And, you know, I want to get to that one because I don't know what Mike McCarthy was thinking in that game. Like, come on, dude.
Management and all
And going for a 62-yard field goal there. I mean, if the guy misses that kick, you pretty much sunk your team right there. I mean, you just killed your team right there. I mean, I don't know what was going on there. I mean, he got away with one right there. It was incredible. But, you know, last night's game, obviously. I also want to touch on the Raiders and the Steelers.
Yes.
Derek Carr, man, he's coming into his own now. Here's a kid who, you know, John Gruden came in, gave him a hard time, and now he's throwing rockets and touchdowns all over the place. So, you know, listen, it was a great weekend of football, man. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. And week three is, you know, starting in a couple of days. So, you know, can't wait. I mean, it's just great. Football is awesome. It's great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your boy Ruggs, you know,
finally showed up,
lit up the scoreboard, and you won Worst Manager Award in our Fantasy League.
Before, because I didn't start him? Well,
for sitting him. Whatever. Yeah. I sat Michael Pittman. The dude was injured all, you know, on Friday. They said, oh, he might not play. I sat him. And I lost because, you know, I lost by 12 because of sitting him and Devonta Smith doing nothing, Jalen Waddle doing next to nothing, Tua getting hurt, Dalton got hurt, couple of injuries, you know.
Yeah.
Mayfield got hurt and came back in, but Justin Fields is looking to be, you know, the starter of the Bears because of a Dalton injury. And, you know, it's just, you know, injuries are showing their ugly head a little bit. Jarvis Landry is on the IR. MCL sprain, Carson Wentz 2 sprained ankles.
We'll
see what happens there, but definitely some very interesting games, some very interesting turn of events. As you know, this week, I mean, first 2 weeks of the season, and we're supposed to get an extra week this year. And if it keeps up like this, it's going to be some, you know, pretty entertaining, you know, an entertaining little 5 month span of Sundays. And I mean, this is worth the price of admission.
It is
just, you know, seeing how everything is playing out right now. You know, hopefully everyone could stay healthy. You know, we still have, you know, variants of COVID out there, and you know, everyone just needs to take all the necessary precautions. And well, speaking of COVID, you know, so obviously a big story in the preseason was Cole Beasley, and the Bills are just, you know, everyone couldn't pick that game. Like they looked, you know, inept against the Steelers, and then all of a sudden 35-0. I saw a graphic that the Bills have more wins since 2017 than the Giants and the Jets do combined, and that's pathetic.
Yeah,
I guess it's believable, but it's just it's pathetic for our teams.
Yeah, but I'm glad you brought up that game, because I think it's safe to say Tua is not going to be durable in this league. He gets hurt. He's a fragile quarterback. He gets hurt. And the question is, at what point do they make – he's a small guy. At what point do they make the trade for Deshaun Watson? I mean
– that's the thing. Is Watson,
you know, he's out there.
Bound?
Yeah, I think 100% that's where he wants to go. I think that makes the most sense. And the question is, are the Dolphins willing to pull the trigger on 3-1s, 2-2s, or whatever it is, you know, make that deal?
Well, all right. It's just we know that there's ongoing legal – ramifications going on right now with Watson, but you got Tyrod Taylor. He's out he could be out possibly 4 weeks. They're saying in some reports. They have a game on Thursday. They've already ruled out Deshaun Watson as a healthy scratch, and they have no plans to starting him. So it's like, why just sit him down and ask for a king's ransom for him when it's, you're not helping anybody. You're not helping your team, and you're just gonna sit there.
Yeah, you don't give them up for
nothing. But you know, maybe lower your asking price just a little bit. You know, yeah, not.
Man, I mean, no, you get what you get the most you can, man. And if that means three,
or you get nothing though, but you could get nothing, right?
But they'll make a deal. I mean, they're not dumb. They're going to make a deal. The question is, are they going to get a deal they like? The Dolphins are the team. They got the picks. I mean, they got the picks and they got the team ready. Like if he finds a way to get on the field, right? If he's not on the commissioner's exempt list and they find a way to make a deal for him, that's a Super Bowl team right there, you know?
Yeah.
So, make the deal. You just gotta, you gotta be able to. Miami's gotta, at the end of the day, I think they're all Watson's agents. I think the Texans and I think the Dolphins will sit in a room. They will get this. They will straighten this out, and Deshaun Watson will be going to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, quickly touch on somebody else that plays in the South, just the other conference. Jameis Winston is back.
Oh yeah,
people. Jameis Winston is back.
I started
on
my
mind. On the other side of that game was Sam Darnold, who looks like he's in where he wants to be, because they're playing well, 2-0 Carolina Panthers, and they have a game against the Texans this Thursday night, and it's Davis Mills going for the Houston Texans, and down a couple of key players over there as well on the offensive side of the ball are the Houston Texans. And, Panthers are sitting there rolling with, their full complement of weapons on both sides of the ball. Early 3-0 start is where the smart money is for the Carolina Panthers.
That's, yeah.
That's crazy in a very, very packed division there.
Yeah, look, and for all you Jets fans out there who have, shit the bed and just completely lost your mind over what happened on Sunday, yes, Zach threw 4 picks. Yes, it looked bad. Calm down. He's played 8 quarters. He's played 2 NFL games. The kid is going to be fine. The talent is there. It's all there. He's just got to – he was playing hero ball. He was trying to show up. I think he was just trying to, try too hard. He was playing hero ball, and he threw 4 picks. A couple of them weren't his fault. All right, whatever, be that as it may. But everybody's got to relax about Zach Wilson and stop saying, oh, we should have kept Sam and drafted it. No, Sam Darnold was not going to work here. Sam Darnold is not on Zach Wilson's level. So everybody just calm down. Zach's going to be fine. Look, it's a rebuild. It's going to be a tough season. He's going to have games like this. Zach Wilson's going to be just fine. I have no worries about him. But everybody already cut the guy. He's a bum. He can't play. He stinks. I mean, what are we talking about, man? So let's all calm down. Zach's going to be just fine. He's going to have his game. I think he's going to bounce back game this week. I think the game plan is going to be the same, but I think he's just got to learn to, like Sal said, play a little boring football, take what the defense gives you, and then show off that rocket arm and do your thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be some growing pains. So we're going to have to just deal with it. And, he will grow, but we do have a running back that's looking pretty good.
Oh, Michael Carter. I bought his jersey last night. How about that?
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. But, it's good things are on the horizon.
People. Yes.
So, we didn't expect to win the Super Bowl this year. And if you did, then I don't know what you were thinking.
Or even make the playoffs. 25,000 to 1.
But, the Super Bowl losers last year, went up against the Baltimore Ravens. We will hold off on that a little bit because our guest that we will get in – that we are going to welcome in. He's a big Ravens fan, so we want to get his take on that. But right now, please help us and welcome Chris Adams to the show. Chris, hey guys, how are you? Going?
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well,
doing great. Yeah, so, I mean, let's touch on that real quick before we even get to, everything else. That game Sunday night, talk to us about how you're feeling and, what was going through your mind when things were, getting to the end there.
Well, this is like a perfect place for me to not have a voice because of the title of the show. But I came home after the game. I was down at M&T and I came home and my voice was worse than this Sunday night when I got home, and my wife, Jamie, was like, you could just tell, she was like, aren't you a little old to be losing your voice? you have a 7 month old daughter. It's time to like, but you know, it was a circus down there, man. It was, I don't know if you guys saw the intro, but they played like the whistling from Omar from the wire and shut the lights down one by one. So like by the end of that, it was just whistling in pitch black. It was terrifying. It was awesome. Yeah. Very cool.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't see that, but you know, obviously, you know, in honor of Michael Kenneth Williams, who passed away, you know, a week and a half ago or so. And obviously The Wire being based in Baltimore. I actually want to rewatch the show a little bit, you know, kind of got the inkling to rewatch that show. But yeah, I mean, congratulations to the, you know, the Ravens, because, you know, they've had a couple of hard fought battles with the Chiefs, and you know, it looked like it was the Chiefs again, and just, you know, a couple miscues and big fumble there.
Yeah.
And you guys stuck it out, and you know, you had flips into the end zone, and you know,
it was fun
night. And where did you sit? Close to the end zone, or
we're on the Ravens side, about 26 rows up, right at like the 35, so like just great seats. But yeah, it was an absolute circus. And like if you look at the trends over, like, it just seemed like the Chiefs were slowly getting better over those three games. Like the first one was overtime, the second one was like, you know, 7 points, the third one was like 14 points. And like, you went into that game, and just based on what I do, I looked at the game, and I said after the Vegas game, I was like, anything under a touchdown from a point spread standpoint for the Chiefs is like a joke. And then it came out at like 3.5, and all the money dumped onto the Chiefs. And in my, like, I know better that you don't align against the house. That is not a good strategy long-term. And that was the only, like, because they were just decimated with injuries. And when I saw that line and I saw the amount of money on the Chiefs, that was like the only hope I had, was like, that's typically not a recipe for success.
Yeah.
So other than that though, I mean, it was just, I mean, look, that Lamar is so special. And I spent some time in South Florida and actually got to watch him play once in high school, and then followed him through Louisville. And when they drafted him, I was like elated, and all you know, a lot of my friends were like, you're picking like a gimmick guy. And, you know, then I just, that kid's been an absolute, he's been better athletically than everyone on the field every game I've watched him play. He just is. So I don't know. It's fascinating to watch him just based on how instinctual it is. He's not setting you up in front of him. He's already passed you. He's setting up the second level defender on his next move. And you might as well be a cone. you don't have a prayer. So.
Yeah, and you need it after all those running back injuries in the preseason. It's just decimating, but next man up, and everyone's been doing their part over there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rick.
No, I was going to ask Chris, were you the guy who got the tattoo for the
– No. No, I don't think I'd be allowed to Sunday dinner at my family's
house. So your story's fascinating. When did you first like get involved, I guess, sports betting, gambling? Like at what age did it sort of start catching your attention?
Yeah. And look, I tell guys who work with us and girls who work with us all the time, like, you have no idea how cool life is right now for you. This industry didn't exist. Like if you wanted to bet, it had to be with some like dirtbag outside of a McDonald's. And like now you have like interactive screens during live streaming events. And it's like the innovation is so interesting, because what happens in a nascent market, like a very early market like this, the brightest minds from every other market that now has a ceiling flood into this new market because they see opportunity that hasn't been defined by a ceiling at all. So they can scale a product or a service or an innovative concept without any sort of restraint, which I've always found interesting. But me personally, I was always kind of close to it. I played sports a lot growing up. I was always a fan of it and a fan of the data that goes into it. Like, I don't think people realize how incredibly interesting what that like point spread is, like what goes into that point spread and the amount of data that goes in. It's fascinating. Where you're like fanboying about.
And I'm glad you brought that up because for a person like myself or Mike, like I always look at the spread. I'm like, how does Vegas, you know, you watch a game, right? And it's like almost to the T. So like, I mean, when you mentioned that, I'm curious to know how much does like, cause those spreads come out like as soon as like the Sunday night game's over, the Monday, the spreads are out right away. So how do they process that data so fast and get a point spread out like that?
Yeah, for the most part, it's all automated. I mean,
because I'm thinking, you know what? I'm thinking of like the movie Casino, Ace Rothstein. He says, pick that. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, like I'm always so hesitant, right? Because we're a young startup and I hear people pitch all the time talking about AI and machine learning and like they don't have it. But so like I'm hesitant to use that term with how those sorts of lines are created because it's not that. But it's a very intelligent algorithm that takes into account a ton of different factors. And what spits out the other side is that super easy to understand, like -3.5, right? And that's, part of what we do really well at our company is like, we have a really smart ranking algorithm that takes into account a ton of metrics, like a ton. And out the other side comes 5, 4, and 3-star rating. Very easy to understand as well. So we're trying to do that also. But I say this all the time, like marble is super expensive and there's a lot of it in Vegas. And that's like for a reason. They're smart. They are smart people.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've always, tried to look into like what goes into it. And you have like, how many offensive plays are they going to get off? How many offensive plays does the defense usually allow in a game? The weather and, this and the injuries. And how many snap counts does this person play and this person? It's so, just so much. And, you have to have this, foolproof algorithm, for the most part, because, Vegas ends up winning. At the end of the day, Vegas is winning.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing how, how long this has been going on. And now it's just being spread out. And like you said, it's just now it's like everywhere and it's immersed into NFL red zone now.
Yeah.
Like they will throw out second half lines on the screen.
Yeah.
I've been noticing. And they have the tickers on the bottom, with lines. And it's crazy how like the world is changing as far as sports betting goes. So where was this like initial, so you're the founder and CEO of SharpRank and you guys just launched into the App Store a few weeks ago now. So I guess talk to us about where did the idea come from? And then, talk to us a little bit about, what SharpRank actually is and does.
Sure. You guys will get a kick out of this actually. So my partners and I were driving home from the beach in January of 2020, and we're just sports fanatics. So we're listening to sports radio and a segment, like a commercial came on in between segments. And it's like, hey, I'm Nikki Big Stacks. I'm 901 against the spread. And if you call now and buy my picks, you're guaranteed to win money. And like, we just kind of listened to that in silence. And I come from investment banking. My partner's a financial advisor. We have to get fingerprinted. We have to like take exams. We have to constantly be audited. Like we would get strung up in the center of town if we had done what this guy's doing. And so we're like sitting there listening to him do this. And we're like, well, somebody has to be like checking this guy, right? Like they, you can't just guarantee people money. You can't just like lie about like what he was claiming was statistically impossible about his ability. If he had done that, there would be no reason to buy commercial time because he'd never work again in his life, which is another. But so we went looking, right? And we started looking for this like oversight because we started to think about it. And the equivalent of what we do exists in every single industry. So like Morningstar for funds or Princeton Review for colleges or in every single LEED certification for buildings, like Carfax Automotive, every industry you can possibly think of has our equivalent. So like we were thinking, you know, not only is the transparency kind of desired in this market, it's necessary, like it's required for the market to evolve. And so we went looking, we started at a federal level because our previous oversight was the SEC and, you know, FINRA and stuff like that. And so there was nothing there. We then went state by state because it was repealed at a federal level. There was nothing there. And so we were like, well, it has to come from a private entity. And there was nothing. Like there were a bunch of people who had leaderboards on their platform that were also producing original content and making picks, which is like Ford rating pickup trucks. And there's like a severe conflict of interest. So we are a completely independent ratings agency. So we take data from sharps, experts, predictive machines and models. We put it into our algorithm, which constantly evolves and updates and takes into account a ton of information. It's wicked. It's very smart. It's way smarter than me. And then out the other side, we give out a rating. And so what we do is very similar to what Twitter does with a blue check mark. So a partner of ours can leverage what we've created. It's called a sharp card. It's like the back of a baseball card meets a stock performance chart meets video game achievement unlocks. It all in one place. And they can use that to separate themselves from people in the industry that are selling the other side of the bet to every other caller or just people who kind of lie. That's what they're doing. They use it as a credible source for them to kind of tout and use because there are a ton of super intelligent people out there and they're getting tied in with a stigma of that, like, you know, that 1-800 guy who's out there selling picks and not being honest or accountable or transparent.
Yeah, I guess the first instance of that was like the two for the money, like that McConaughey yeah. and yeah, that was a fun movie. But yeah, I mean, I actually signed up for the app
and all right.
the leaderboard that you mentioned, and yep. then I might get some weird stuff going on if I go into go into sharp sites.
The trending, probably some stuff.
Yeah,
on there.
And then
yeah.
So this is probably it's gonna show because it's green. So that's green, everybody, and that's the stock. You know,
yeah,
the stock looking back of the car that he mentioned there, but because of my green screen, it's showing my background.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool. And now so you can make your own picks on there as well.
Yeah.
When did the NFL picks go on there? Because I'm not seeing them yet.
But Wednesday, those typically go up. Tonight, there should be some college football at some point.
There is. There's college football in there. Yeah.
That's in
on college football, so really just shooting blind.
Yeah,
by trying to pick against that, but hey, you know what? Might actually be good for me
because it's
too much data on my end when it comes to NFL.
Yeah, there's different flavors for everyone, right? Like, there's one of the things we've seen with people who pick NFL is we pull it out in the trending tab. Is like there are people who know certain teams really well, like. Like there's people on there who are 11-0 when they pick the Raiders against the spread. Yeah. And like, you can see they're picking them again this week, or they've gone against the Raiders, and we call that a rogue pick. But we pull all that like curated data, really easy to understand data, out so that people can see it up front, as well as those ratings. But so there are people who really know their NFL team really well. There's a college theory too, that like, when you bet a spread, you need to know who wins and by how much. And just by the nature of the college game, you can 98% of the time eliminate one of those variables. Who's going to win? Like, you know, Alabama is going to beat the brakes off of Saginaw State. Like, but you just don't know by how much. Whereas with Raiders Ravens, like, no clue, right? Like, could be anyone. They play that game 10 times, you would get 10 completely different results.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's different strokes for different folks. But yeah, it's one of the, it's along with the algorithm being cross sport functional, which means you can, as hockey and basketball comes on, you can pick hockey and basketball, and I can pick football, and we're normalized. But along with all of that, you know, it's one place where you can really see, like, how do I do against somebody who does this for a living, right? Like, how do I stack up against Cynthia Freeland on the NFL Network?
Right, yeah.
I think she's, like, at the top of that leaderboard.
Yeah, she's good.
She's smart. She's very smart. And, like, and that's what I said. Like, there are a lot of very smart people out there who do really well. And it's interesting to see, you know, because everyone has their own style. We've kind of found that most people are what we call an educated gut, right? Like, they know the numbers, but they know, right? They know about this over here. So
yeah,
it's a great platform. We've made some really great partnerships with some really big media companies to be the ratings provider for them, and more to come on all of that. So it's been a blast. It's problem solving for 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is a lot of fun.
Chris, let me ask you this. You know, has it surprised you that Silicon Valley and gambling have sort of come together? I mean, you would think an industry like that, people would be like, oh, it's gambling. Like as you said, it was looked at as like something you did, you know, with a guy outside of McDonald's. All of a sudden, you have these smart people at Silicon Valley, smart people like yourself, all of a sudden coming together into the world of gambling, right?
Yeah, it's so what we're seeing is, and you're starting to see it now, is there is a merging of industries going on between media, sports, betting, and finance. And like all, and you know, fortunately we sit at the center of that Venn diagram, but right, like all of those industries are coming together. But that's, you're exactly right. Like, that's the brain flood that I'm talking about. Like those people, you nailed it. Like, they're smart and they have executed on opportunities, whether it's the .com, whether it's, you know, housing, I'm starting to make them seem like they're causing a bunch of crises, but they're not. They're not. If you're in Silicon Valley, that is not what I'm implying.
Yeah, exactly. Not at all.
They do, like, they're so intelligent and so opportunistic has a negative connotation, but like they see opportunity and take it. And like, there are so many innovative ways that we haven't even scratched the surface to see yet in this industry that like, I get so excited every day to like see what's next, right? Like every day I wake up, there's something new and interesting that's going on and some new creative idea, new way to play fantasy sports, new way to do pretty much everything in this industry. And yeah, I mean, they are rifling in here and it's fun to watch. And that's where our platform is so great, right? Because we're creating a market category. We're not competitors with Action or Barstool or CBS or predictive analytics companies. Like, we don't want that at all. They do that very well, better than we could ever do it. And so we want to be a complement to them, to help them validate themselves in the market, create content around it. You know, you think about a financial institution being able to create marketing materials saying all of our funds are 4 and 5 star rated on Morningstar. Right. You can do the same thing with what we're doing if you're at NBC Sports Edge or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. I mean, which leads me to my next question. You saying that the opportunities are growing, and it's is sports gambling just on, like, I know the Supreme Court legalized it a couple of years ago, but are we just at the beginning stages? I mean, is this thing just like the sort of, you know, like a baby, and it's now starting to grow up pretty fast?
Yeah, it is. We are, man, we are super, super early in this. I mean, we still don't even have every state legalized, right?
Right.
Like, and so, like, you combine that with the fact that there are traditional players in Europe and other areas that are starting to see this happening, and they're starting to come over and say, like, hey, this is a new market. And, like, as that sort of migration happens through the Silicon Valley folks and the non-traditional players and the European or the Asian players coming into the US market, you're going to see over the next 5 years, I mean, it's going to be incredible to see. If you think you're inundated with it now, because you're right, like with the NFL, everyone was like, hurry up. And then they like went over the time, like now every other commercial is DraftKings, BetMGM, and like, we're just now getting started in this industry. And you're starting to see that with like some of the early M&A activity and the purchases in this industry. When you look at, and this is again me, just tell me to shut up if this
is. No, go ahead.
No. This is all great stuff.
But like if you start to look at like the M&A activity and you start to track, like one of the things I look at a lot is SPACs, right? Because SPACs are traditionally, they are a signal to the market that there is growth in an industry and they are going to form up all over the place and then find targets. So as you see SPACs popping up all over the place in sports tech and sports betting, it's safe to assume that M&A trend is just going to go like this. And whether it's actual purchases or going to public market, I mean, that's the other component, right? Like there's public market ramifications for a lot of these big companies. And what does that then do when they're publicly traded and the rippling effects that has? We're early, but we are growing. It's like Groot Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like first scene, he's in a little pot, and the next time you see him, he's like 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good analogy there. So sports betting is obviously in its infancy, but it's been there. But you know, something that hasn't been like frowned upon and was legal to most, where it was the fantasy game, you know, starting with obviously fantasy baseball being, you know, the keystone of starting it all with the roto, you know, rotisserie. And then, you know, obviously football, fantasy football gaining popularity, you know, super quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a dedicated channel on SiriusXM just for fantasy sports.
Yeah.
You know, and they said on, it was like 50 million play fantasy sports. And that, you know, it's a big number, you know, and it's now are they going to have like, they do talk sports betting on there, you know, like the Action Network, they're on there, you know, and all these different fantasy shows, they have their dedicated hours or 20 minutes to every hour where they're just talking about spreads and prop bets and things of this nature. And do you think that, you know, there's going to be more channels popping up just strictly for sports betting 24/7?
That's why we created our algorithm in a cross-sport manner, right? What we saw in the market was that traditionally every media outlet had every sport in a vertical. And then to the extent they could, they would sprinkle sports betting on top. And what's happened over the past 3 years is that sprinkling on top has gotten so large that it's become its own vertical. So our ability to function and rate and rank and do all that cross sport is really where we're headed. Like you nailed it, right? There's VSIN now. ESPN has a show dedicated to gambling. Sports Grid is another one that's popping up. It's a 24-hour TV channel for sports betting. And so you have all these things popping up, and you're exactly right about the size of fantasy football. If there's a multiplier effect on sports betting, because what used to be a very taboo subject is now what you're forced to talk about at the water cooler and at happy hour. Whereas that was and still is fantasy football, right?
Yeah.
But if you are, and the reason it's so important for leagues to adopt this now is, how does baseball or NASCAR, their demographic is aging and mature.
Yes.
How do you attract that 18 to 24 year old that has no interest in racing, but now they can live bet during that sport? Like, that changes the entire dynamic for that demographic. And they have the ability to and that's why you're seeing some of these, I don't want to call them fringe sports, because they're not, but people jumping into it with 2 feet, because they're trying to grab market share as quickly as possible for interested parties. But yeah, we are 100% headed that way. And that's the merging of industries, that they are all coming together that way. It's wild. It's the Wild West. We're hopefully trying to, we're not really a sheriff. I don't want to associate myself with that, but we're trying to, we're trying to put some sort of order.
A little bit of order. And so it doesn't, doesn't blow up in, just complete chaos. And people don't know which way to go with it. You're going to start having dedicated channels to bet on ESPN, the Ocho.
Bring it.
Professional cornhole, dodgeball.
Everything.
That's a bold bet there, Cotton.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you got everything. And can you're able to bet on the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was I don't know. I don't actually, we still don't have it here in New York. So I don't, I don't go too crazy on, on the betting. And I won't bet on baseball. I don't even look at baseball. I feel like it's too pure of a game. And I feel weird betting on baseball, but football.
Yeah.
All day, every day, I'm always looking at the lines and, and fantasy, and just can't wait till they finally open up the online.
Well, what'll be super interesting in this coming summer, right, is the first World Cup where sports betting is legal in the U.S., which I think would be about as big as the Olympics from a betting standpoint, if not big. I mean, I think that is going to be a wild way to participate and watch that sporting event. So that'll be really fun.
Yeah, and it's going to make the World Cup even that much more enjoyable, because people are going to have, they're going to have, skin in the game.
Yep.
So you're going to be a lot more invested in, I personally feel, and obviously the data shows it, that people are way more engaged when they got something riding on it, and not just the price they pay for the admission, the price that they could win back, and it's the way I look at it is as long as you number one, you have to be responsible whenever you're betting. But if you're going to go out to a bar and you're going to spend $100 on drinks or whatever the case is, or you're going to go out with friends and spend a couple $100, and you just put that on, a couple of bets, and you have your entertainment, which is going to be, hanging out and watching this and waiting for the result with, along with your friends, but you have that opportunity to win big. So it's definitely a lot of fun, but you have to know to be responsible. So I want to ask you a little bit more about the data that comes in, sure. 'Cause I seen, like you said, Cynthia Freeland, I saw Dave Portnoy on there. I saw Dave Richard. So is this coming off of their Twitter posts and, because there's a lot of people. So it's not like they're all, coming in and you have personal relationships with every single one of them, because there was hundreds and not hundreds of people, but maybe you do. I mean, yeah, I'm sure many of them you probably do have some communication with, but where are you getting your data points from?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, and like, I'll tell you kind of a funny story. So when we started out, we manually logged and time stamped, I think over 70,000 lines in Excel, just sourcing stuff like as fast as we could, auditing it, making sure it all was right. Cause like we're a market validator and like that is super important to us. And then as we grew, we started to find these relationships with these folks who have adopted, you know, like you have the app, right? You've seen how easy it is to make those picks. If you just go in to the play tab, search whatever team you're looking for, and then hit over under money line spread, like you can input your picks as a expert or a sharp in under a minute. So that aspect of our mobile app is really a tool built for our partners and our partnerships to say, hey, Sports Illustrated, hey, USA Today, let's get your roster of people. We'll tie them to a sharp account, and then we'll send you a 15-second video on how to go in and make your picks. And that's how it works, right? Like we get data from a lot of these folks on our platform, and they are super, super great people to work with and for. We're not out there like picking fights. I know it'd be great content for us to like call people out, but we're not about creating content. We're about, you know, making sure that it's like a photo and a photo negative, right? So if you're listed on our platform, you can assume that those picks have been validated, audited, checked for accuracy, all that sort of stuff, and run through our algorithm. And then if you're not, the public can make their own assumption for what that means. So we've been super fortunate to have some great partners, and we constantly have people in our office calling media outlets saying, hey, let's get a conversation, blah, blah, blah. And most people are pretty receptive to it because it's so painless, you know?
Yeah, and just to show everyone the UI here, now the NFL lines are up.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
It's a rapid fire pick.
Yeah, we were going to ask you if you want to join us in giving your picks, because every week we give we do against the spread picks. It's up to you. Me and Rick are doing it anyway, but you're more than happy to.
How about I add some color? I got to kind of remain independent on this stuff.
Yes.
But as you guys go through it, I'll add in where I think that would be helpful.
Fair enough.
So Mike, start it off. Go ahead.
All right. Let's start it off here.
Oh, you want me to go?
Go ahead. I'm going to use the sharp rank lines.
Okay.
So we have the Carolina Panthers against the Houston Texans in Houston, favored by 8.
In Houston, favored by 8.
Davis Miller is starting for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
No Tyrod Taylor.
Sam Darnold gaining some confidence. Christian McCaffrey walking in there. They're going 3-0. I think they win that comfortably by a couple of touchdowns, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going with Carolina there as well.
All right. No comment.
Fair enough. Now, this one is interesting, though.
Go ahead.
In Buffalo,
favored
by 8.5 against the Washington football team. I feel like that is a high spread. I know they just won 35-0, but, you know, it's pretty high. I get that they're in Buffalo, but Washington, and I know it's Heinicke and whatever, but 8.5 is too much, and I'll take the points that Washington's given me.
So I'm going to take the Bills on this one. I think Taylor Heinicke comes back down to earth a little bit. One, they're not playing the giant defense. And two, he's not going to get away with some of the throws that he made last week. I think the Bills defense is for real. They're going to shut him down. And I think this is another one where the Bills at home, after being, you know, humiliated by the Steelers on the opening weekend, are not going to come lose two in a row at home. They're going to cover this, and they'll win by a couple of touchdowns as well. I'll take the Bills and the points.
And by the way, I go to an away game every year with my family. Have you guys ever traveled up to Orchard Park for a?
Yes, I went to that.
It's chaos.
It's a pretty fun environment.
It's fun, and the tailgating is fun over there too.
Did you jump through a table or no?
No, I actually had like everyone was super nice, and like I was walking in, I was wearing my Reed jersey, and somebody's like, "Reed, hey, Reed," and yeah. So I was like, "Just keep going," like you know, just so finally he piqued my interest enough that I turned around, and there was a very large fella with his pants around his ankles and his. His buddy pouring beer down his back and spanking him.
Oh, what is that all about, like, man?
I was like, oh my God, this place is a zoo.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable. So walk me through what I'm looking at right now. So I put in my pick, which was Washington +8.5, but then I hit the 5-star consensus arrow, and yep. It shows a couple people for the football team. Like I got Keegan Stifel is a 4-1. I don't know who that is, but I don't know if it's a 5-star Joe Maniello. I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if it's somebody that uses the app or one of the experts, but he's 7-1-1 and it's listed under the football team. So what is that?
So that's telling you his record when he picks the Washington football team. So right next to that name, is it blank? Z's. So he's yet to make a pick. So as that game gets closer, they'll start locking.
Yeah, they just got they just launched. Yeah. So I would imagine that we're not going to have much data points on the other way around. However, the Bills, somebody's 8-2 when picking the Bills, and that is Mr. Dave Portnoy. So it looks like, you know. Jeez. But he has Z's too, so you might be along the lines of Dave over there, Rick. So,
hey, listen,
good company.
I think they'll be all right. All right, next
Brownies, 7-point favorites against the Bears and Justin Fields starting.
I think it's going to be closer. I take the Bears in the points here. Justin Fields is going to give him a different option on the offense. I think this is going to be a 3-point game. I think it's going to be that closer.
I think that, you know, losing Landry could hurt. And if Odell does not come back, that's going to prove worrisome. I think the Browns win, but the Bears cover 7 points.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about that as a Ravens fan, you see what that added dimension can do to that Bears or the Browns defense. Like the ability to scramble, get out of the pocket, and actually have designed runs has given them fits the past 2 years. Like just. Yeah. Absolute fits because they crash hard off those edges, like they have monsters off the edge.
Yeah,
that's irrelevant if you don't keep gap presence up front, and Fields will just run straight down the center of the field. We watched him do it at Ohio State constantly, just send verticals and then run down the center of the field. So
nice. All right, so good.
Chargers at the Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 6.5.
You know what, man? What are the Chargers? What's the Chargers record?
Chiefs off of a loss. 1-1. They're both 1-1.
Both 1-1.
Yes, they are.
The top one. You know, let's put things in perspective here. It was 35-24 when Ed Edwards-Helaire fumbled. If he doesn't fumble, I think they're okay in that game. So I'm gonna take the Chiefs to cover this one. I think that they'll win by a touchdown. They're going to win this game. They'll win by a touchdown. This is a bounce back game. I think they're pissed off what happened the last week. If they come out at home in Kansas City, they're not going to lose this game like that. They'll win by 10, I would say.
As much as, you know, IHIT and Herbert, I trust, I don't know if I could, you know, trust him to keep this one close. I thought I could, but I'm going with the Chiefs in this 6.5. If it was 7.5, I would have picked the Chargers.
It's a tough place to play, man. It's really, very loud. It is a divisional game, so they're familiar with them, like very, like super familiar with them. And we study this a lot. Our data science studies this a lot. Just as a side note, is like, does the general public just put way too much weight on certain superstars where they look at a matchup and they're like, Patrick Mahomes is better than Justin Herbert. Of course they're going to win. It doesn't matter what the point spread is. And like, do they actually take into account? And what you'll see a lot with Chiefs games is spreads that you look at and go, it like kind of scratch your head. And then by game time, they've right-sized because people, you know, have started to take advantage of those lines. That
right.
They've had a rough stretch against the spread in the past year, like 4-12 type of bad.
Yeah, we know. We picked them in the Super Bowl last year.
It was like 4-4 for the Chiefs and 12 yeah. against. Yeah, that was a fun show, but we were so wrong. Yeah. The Giants, the atrocious Giants, get the Falcons coming to MetLife Stadium.
Man, they're
the
Giants are
favored by 3.
I don't know, dude. This is a pick'em game. I mean, this is like, to me, this is a coin flip game. Both teams.
Falcons put up some points.
Yeah, and I just
put up some, you know, put up some points too.
Daniel Jones played the best game of his career last week. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
He played well. I have no confidence in Saquon Barkley right now. I'm going to flip a coin and just say the Giants -3.
Can I not pick it and just go with the over-under of 48 and go with the over on this one?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm a big boy. I can make my own decisions.
There you go.
I don't want to pick the spread.
All right. What do we got? What's next?
Cardinals visiting Jacksonville. Cardinals are favored by 7.5.
Yeah, that's going to get ugly real quick.
I go
Cardinals. I think the question is Trevor Lawrence, like, does Chandler don't kill Trevor Lawrence? Does he finish the game?
I thought he was going to kill Kirk Cousins, and he didn't. So
yeah, that's going to be it. Chandler Jones probably going to have, like, 4 sacks in that game. Arizona, easy cover.
So I take the 7, and, you know, I'm with you. They're going to win by 2 scores.
Yeah.
No thoughts. I was just thinking about it as you're going through this, like, that – these are a lot of like close to touchdown spreads this week, which is really uncharacteristic for the NFL, where you typically see like around a field goal, maybe 4, 4.5. It's really interesting how like outsized those lines are as I'm thinking about it. And
there's a couple of games that now there's more games here, but the spreads are getting, they're closer to 3.
Yeah.
A lot of these games.
There's a lot of high scoring games so far this season.
Yeah,
especially a lot more than normal,
especially in prime time. It seems like, and like the cynic in me is always like, that's all for show because next week they're going to rake everyone on the 1 o'clock games because everyone's going to remember the Chiefs Ravens, and then you're going to get Dolphins Jags at like 7-3. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well, here we got your Ravens going into Detroit. Oof. 8.5 points. The Ravens are favored.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Ravens will cover that.
Oof. I'm going with the Ravens covering it as well. Don't want to put Chris on the spot there.
I'll say that could be a classic. If
it could be. Yeah.
If our Monday night game, because our next home game is a Monday night game, but we have Denver in between. So like, if that Monday night game was after this Detroit game, I would be a little leery of that. That's like a classic Ravens Justin Tucker have to pull you out for no reason in Detroit. But yeah, I mean that everything on paper tells me one thing, but that's never done anything for me in my life.
So. All right.
Saints go into New England. 3 points favored on the Patriots.
I think that's about right. Now look, Mac Jones is nicking and dunking. It's not like he's lighting it up. Is Jameis starting? Yeah, right.
You would imagine so. Yeah. Taysom Hill's going to be sprinkled in.
Man. This is in New England?
This is in New England, yeah. I mean they got 4 interceptions off of Wilson in New York and Winston, you know.
Listen.
You don't know what Winston's going to show up.
2 games. Yes, you're right. It's tough to bet against New England at home. So what's the spread? What is it?
3 even or odd, whatever.
Yeah, I'll take New England in a 3.
3.0 is even. So
I'm
going with that.
I'll take you with a minus three.
Yeah, I'm with you. Steelers and the Bengals in Pittsburgh. Banged up Roethlisberger. He hurt his pec.
Yep.
4.5 favorite over the Bengals.
Give me the Bengals with the upset, baby. Yep. I'm taking the Bengals in this one. Yes, yeah, Najee Harris is going to be throwing people across the field. I get it. And they're at home. But I kind of like, you know, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I kind of like that mix right there. And, you know.
I think that the Steelers win, but the Bengals cover.
Okay.
It'll be a closer game. Titans host the Colts. 5.5-point favorites are the Titans. Henry was unleashed last week.
Chris, is that one where Vegas is begging you to pick them?
The Titans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're you know that Geico commercial with the guy with the dollar?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing right there. Is like, and that's exactly what the Chiefs game was, right? It's the same thing. It's like, that is such easy money. And like, I bet if I, at the end of this week, I'll shoot you guys an email.
Yeah.
I bet if I look at dollar amount on which side of that bet, you're going to be over 70% on Tennessee in that
game. Right. Because Jacob Eason's going to start. I mean, what's the name? Carson Wentz might not play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't know, but
sprained both of his ankles.
Yeah,
which is like
both of them. So
how does that happen?
That's the most Carson Wentz thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I'll have to take Tennessee in that one, but I want to see whether Wentz plays this week.
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee as well. Our Jets head to Mile High.
All right, boys, hear me out.
The spread is a mile high.
Yes,
10.5.
Vegas is begging you to pick the Broncos. Now, here's the deal. The Jets defense, two games, they are playing well. Hey, their corners are holding up. They're playing well. CJ Mosley is back in form. Zach's had a couple of off, like the first half of the first game he was off, and clearly he was off last week. I think this time they dial him back a little bit. They set up some easy throws for him. They lean on that running game. Michael Carter, Ty Johnson. I'm going to take the Jets in an upset here. And with the points, I don't know
about an upset, but they're covering the 10.5.
Yes, 100%. But that's my second upset. I like the Bengals and I like the Jets in this one.
This is still Teddy Bridgewater. He's prone to mistakes.
That's what I'm saying. And the Jets defense is playing well. That secondary is playing real well, man. And I don't think the Jets are going to let somebody just throw bombs all over the field. I just think
if you think upset, it's a plus 450, and that's some.
Yeah, I might make a trip to the FanDuel Sportsbook.
That's some nice money right there. So
I'm just thinking that number is way too high for a defense that's playing real well with a running game that's pretty good. If they can straighten out
Zach's. Denver has a great defense. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, 100%. But I just think if they could straighten out Zach's problem, which is calming him down, lean on the running game, man. They were averaging, like 4 yards a carry last week? If they can just keep hammering Michael Carter and Ty Johnson – and then throw it when you have to, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, this one's an interesting one. Dolphins, after getting shellacked, they're getting 3.5 points in the Death Star against the Raiders.
I'll tell you right now, since
Raiders are looking good.
Yep. And Deshaun Watson.
You think Deshaun Watson is going to be on the team by Sunday?
What I'm saying is, if and when he's on the team, I'm taking the Dolphins. But Tua's hurt. Who's the backup? Jacoby Brissett. Dolphins are going 3-0. I mean, the Vegas is going 3-0.
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas always wins.
Vegas always wins. Yeah, those two edge rushers for Vegas are menaces.
Yeah, they're killing people, man. It's crazy.
Max Crosby is a freak. Yeah, that's a really interesting game. That to me is almost as teasing as the Tennessee game, where it's like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, after what I just saw with Ravens and Steelers from Vegas, like 3 points at home, like, but
yeah,
game of the week, the Super Bowl champions go to SoFi, and the Super Bowl champions are the Bucs are just favored by one. So it's a pick 'em.
That's a great game.
And SoFi. Yeah. That's an awesome Matthew game. Stafford has been playing well. They both got good defenses, both got good offenses. Honestly, it's going to be a fun game this that's Sunday.
That's
going to be a fun game.
First game Brady has played in LA in his career.
I don't want to pick either side. I'm going to go over the 55, though.
Yeah.
Come on. Brady's thrown for 9 touchdowns. Stafford's thrown for how many? I don't know. 6, 7?
Yeah.
They got great defenses, but, I mean, I still think it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I think it's a shootout too. Right now, the Buccaneer offense is
and they have neither team has like a really running game.
Right.
They're really, airing it out, both teams.
Right. Tampa Bay is unstoppable right now.
Yeah.
And it's Brady, so you can't go against him. He's already got 9 touchdowns this season. Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin. I mean, I'm taking Tampa Bay to win this. I'll take Tampa Bay. They'll kick a field goal late to win it. I go with the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm just going over 55. Yeah, but fair enough. We'll put in your Bucs pick. Sunday night. Is it Sunday night? No, not Sunday night yet.
Seahawks and Vikings.
Seahawks and Vikings. That's still 4:00.
I'm going Russell Wilson. I don't know how this is a 1.5 game, man.
This is another inviting one.
Yeah, I have. Come on, it's Kirk Cousins.
2 points. It's in Minnesota, but nah. I mean,
give me
Seattle
Russ.
Off that loss too.
Give me Russ.
Yeah.
Russ is gonna. They're gonna win that game. Period.
Tough to bet against Russell after a loss. Packers
going into the San Fran. It's 3.5. The Packers are getting 3.5.
See, here's the thing. The last time they were there, they got their ass whooped in the NFC Championship. Because
they have like this mental hold on Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like his mental yips in week one are behind him, and he might getting 3.5. I mean, usually they're favored. So I think if you're getting 3.5 with Rodgers.
Yeah, but is he
inviting? It's another one of those tease games.
Yeah, man. Give me the 49ers and that defense at home. Niners in the defense at home.
Taking the Packers.
Okay.
Getting 3.5 points.
And the last game.
I think Chris likes me taking the Packers on that one.
I think this is always the story with Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Like one game, it's just like, they're going to be in the NFC Championship. As soon as that light switch goes off, you just don't know if it's this week or next week
or the following week.
Yeah. But when it does happen, it happens like an absolute like beast. And from that point on, it's like they just have so many good pieces. As a Ravens fan, watching Za'Darius Smith leave was awful because he's an animal. But without him, there's not a lot of teeth in that pass rush. They have like the lowest pressure rate in the NFL. And if you give Jimmy G time, he's a good quarterback. Good-ish quarterback.
Yeah, but they lost like all their running backs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so did we.
Exactly, yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, literally, in 1 week.
That's going to be a fun one. I think that one and the Tampa Bay game are going to be
really good games.
Oh, the Tampa Bay Rams game is going to be a lot of fun. It could be a NFC championship preview.
Yeah, for sure.
And Brady against the Rams again. I mean,
That's always fun. Yeah.
All right. Monday Night Football. Eagles visit Jerry's World. Cowboys are favored by 4. I feel like that's a lot.
CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, or I think he's still hurt, but and Tony Pollard's played well too on that team.
Yeah, he has been, but I still think Dallas has a lot of holes on their defense.
I agree with you too, man.
Philadelphia plus 4. Dallas is probably going to win the game.
I'm going to take the Cowboys.
It's their home opener. Their home opener, but I think that the Eagles cover.
They're 1-1. I'm going to take the Cowboys in Jerry's World. They'll be 2-1, and the NFC East will be off and running.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Mikey.
There you go. There you have it.
It looks like he froze.
Oh, he looks like he's thinking hard.
Yeah, he's thinking. Well, listen, Chris, thanks for coming on tonight, man. We greatly appreciate it. If you ever want to come back, let us know. We'll keep in touch as far as the picks go, man.
Yeah, please do. And we can connect offline about figuring out a way to get you guys up and running on what we're doing too.
Absolutely. SharpRank.com. Now, can people go on the desktop and make picks as well? Because I'm on that here.
They'll be able to in the next couple of weeks. It's lagging behind our mobile app by about a week, but two weeks or so.
All right, everybody. Chris, thank you for coming on tonight. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Be good, take guys. Care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris. All right. There you had it, folks. So another great episode tonight on Fan Experience TV. Christopher Adams, Sharp Rank. It's a great company. Listen, sports betting is just booming. I mean, FanDuel, you have DraftKings. I mean, it's just the industry's going. And as the industry goes, like you were saying, you're going to have all these conglomeration of finance and tech and, you know, everybody coming together for the good of the industry and getting into sports gambling. So that's great. But thank you for coming on tonight. That was a great show. Make sure you tune in this Sunday. Watch some football. Stay up tuned on your baseball. And we will be back next Tuesday, 8:00, episode 98, two away from the Fame 100, where we'll have at a sports bar. Eventually, we'll get the name out to you October 10th. But until then, we shall see you all next week. Peace.